It's a couple of minutes after 9 o'clock at 88.9 FM, KUCI in Irvine for this next hour of programming. The opinions and views expressed are not necessarily those of KUCI, UC Irvine, or the University of California Board of Regents. Boy, am I glad to be back. It's Talking Animals now, KUCI.
Being just contaminates the boy. Just contaminates the boy. I remember some years back, a punky reggae party, and a girl who measured your neck. Oh, I dream of Ant Woman with her Audrey Hepburn feelers. The black and white stripes. I know my type and she's out there. I know my type and she's out there. With the cactus and the succulent. Oh, she rises and she hops and then she eats you. Then she eats you. I ain't gonna argue with a Dane like that. See the bird scattered on your dressing gown. See the dark sea. See the dark barristers gliding away. Gotta do lunch before you get down to some real judging. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. All right to you and you only. Being just contaminates the boy. Everybody, being just contaminates the boy. Remember a punky reggae party and a girl who measured your neck. dream of Ant Woman with her Audrey Hepburn feelers and a black and white stripe. Southerly breeze, in a southerly breeze, in a southerly breeze.
Music from Robin Hitchcock with a song called Ant Woman as we slide into today's edition of Talking Animals on 88.9 FM KUCI in Irvine and streaming live on the internet at KUCI.org. And the whole enterprise, the whole shebang, the whole enchilada, the whole nine yards is broadcasting from the University of California at Irvine. I'm Duncan Strauss, and I'll be with you till 10 o'clock this morning with our program that is devoted to all subjects in the animal kingdom. Right off the bat, I'd like to tell you that for the next hour, you can reach us directly by phone at 949-824-5824, 949-UCI, hey UCI. And I absolutely urge you to use that number. Call us at any point in the show. Don't be shy, I'm telling you. We love, love, love to get calls. You can also instant message us via AOL Instant Messenger. Screen name, not surprisingly perhaps, is Talking Animals. Other ways to be in touch include emailing us. At talkinganimals@AOL.com and checking out our website at talkinganimals.net. Again, that's .net, folks. Also, before I move on, I want to thank Serena Sharp for another rousing rendition of the Serena Sharp Show and for covering this time slot in our absence last week. And boy, again, really, really glad to be back here at KUCI with Talking Animals, and where, of course, primarily we strive to learn about animals and animal issues from our guests, from news items, from your calls, from assorted other sources, but we're also here each week to celebrate animals through music, comedy, and other means. We aim for a pretty reasonable balance of those elements, as you can readily glean by, of course, tuning in regularly or even semi-regularly, or also by visiting our nifty website at www.talkinganimals.net, where at this point, every show we've ever broadcast is archived. Very cool. Yeah. Big hats off and thanks to our webmaster extraordinaire, John Taylor, for that and for all his fine work on the website, talkinganimals.net. But anyways, clearly the heart of the program, as you can see from any of those ways, is the interview we conduct each week with some notable inhabitant of some province of the animal world. Today our guest is Elaine Boozler, the veteran comedian, longtime animal advocate, and currently the host of PAX TV's Balderdash, whose longstanding work on behalf of animals has included creating her own multifaceted nonprofit animal organization called Tales of Joy. We'll hear about Tales of Joy, at least some of the services the organization provides, and other elements of the Elaine Boozler story, past and present, when Elaine joins us in a few minutes here on Talking Animals. Meanwhile, it's time for our weekly look at items of interest in animal news, and I want to remind you of the phone number to join us on the show with your own comments and questions about animals, not only this week's animal news items, of course, but also any other animal topic you care to discuss, whether it might be an announcement of a fundraiser or other benefit type thing that you're involved with, the animal related observations, of course any animal related news stories you might have spotted, they'd all be most welcome. The phone number here again, 949-824-5824, 949-UCI-KUCI. So turning now to interesting or important developments recently in animal news, typically these are local, regional, national, occasionally international animal stories of note, seem important to spotlight. Then you'd like to get your comments on and discuss, but we also try to include a few announcements of upcoming events or activities that you may want to pencil in on your calendar. So, that said, let's talk turkey, as it were. Now, first, I just want to say our thoughts and prayers go out to an ailing dog friend, Honus, and it's going to, again, really be optimistic that things turn out okay for our good friend Honus and his good friends. On a less serious note than that, certainly, I want to remind you that produced by the Talking Animals award-winning Rip and Read News Department, here is the Animal News. May we start off with a segment? Or not even a segment, that might be a bit too off. Just a nod called What About Bob? I mean, that movie seems to be a great movie that it is. It seems to be replaying every weekend. Not that I'm housebound or anything. But more to the point, this is a different Bob. This is Bob the Alligator Snapping Turtle. If you happen to catch the front page of Saturday's LA Times California section, you saw Bob in all his dramatic glory. I'll just read a little bit of the story in case you still scratch your head at what the heck I'm referring to. He lurked in the lake's muddy bottom for decades. He was huge, those who had seen him testified, with fierce claws and powerful jaws. How the creature got there was a matter of conjecture, but everyone agreed on one thing. Bump into him at your own peril. Scotland may have its Loch Ness Monster, but in Fullerton, the legend is of old Bob, the giant alligator snapping turtle of Laguna Lake. And boy, was he ticked off. There was even workers who were dredging the lake as part of a restoration project, hoisted the 4-foot-long, 100-pound beast from his comfortable home. Quote, we all jumped back. You would have too, said Peter Path, owner of Pathco Lake Management, the Santa Monica company that snagged old Bob in its net. It sort of freaked us out. The discovery put flesh on a story that had been spun since the 1970s by astonished fishermen who have inadvertently hooked old Bob. Quote, he's an awesome, awesome turtle, said Sharon Paquette, who lives in Brea and is vice president of the Orange County chapter of the California Turtle and Tortoise Club. He's so handsome. Alligator snapping turtles. Just let me out with sit in for a second if you've seen the picture. I mean, he is handsome in his own distinctive way, for sure. Alligator snapping turtles, which are native to the U.S. Southeast, are illegal in California. Paquette, who was called to take temporary possession of old Bob, suspects he was a pet that got too big to handle and was released in the lake perhaps as long ago as the 1950s. Judging by his size. Because alligator snapping turtles in the wild can weigh more than 200 pounds and live 100 years, old Bob is probably more accurately middle-aged, and it goes on from there. But anyway, we hope everything works out for old Bob. Certainly a striking beast by any measure. Now, moving on in the animal news to a story that is certainly justice at its finest in some way. This is from UPI Dateline, as we like to say. Pensacola, Florida. A Pensacola, Florida man trying to shoot his puppies was wounded when one of them got his paw on the trigger and accidentally shot back, authorities said. Jerry Allen Bradford, 37, was shot in the wrist by his own .38 caliber revolver, the Pensacola News Journal reported Wednesday. Three of the seven German Shepherd mixed puppies were found in a shallow grave outside Bradford's home. The other four were seized by Escambia County animal control officers. Bradford faces animal cruelty charges for the shootings Monday, sheriff's deputy said. Bradford told deputies he was unable to sell or give the puppies away, so he decided to kill them. The sheriff's report said he was holding one of the puppies in his left hand and had another in his arms when the one in his left hand managed to put its paw on the trigger, discharging the gun. And as a number of people, including Keith Olbermann, who covered this story, have pointed out, yay for the puppy. Far more locally, it's down the road piece in San Diego, but really important. We've talked about this issue a few times here on Talking Animals. I just wanted to call this to your attention. On Tuesday, September 14th, that's obviously tomorrow, the San Diego City Council will meet at 10 a.m. at 202 C Street in San Diego, that's the City Administration Building, to discuss whether to dredge away Children's Pool Beach in La Jolla in order to destroy the harbor seal rookery there, used year-round on a daily basis by the seals. The small, 180-foot-long patch of sand is where La Jolla seals give birth and nurse their young from approximately January 15th through April 15th. But again, beyond that, the seals use this patch of beach year-round and have, for as many years as I can remember, It's not too late. In fact, I urge you to, if you want to speak up about this and protect the seals, there are a few email addresses I can throw your way quickly. Starting with Mayor Dick Murphy of San Diego. And email address is pretty simple. It's dickmurphy@sandiego.gov, G-O-V. There's a couple of the council members making in the... let's do council member Ralph Inzunza. It's rinzunza@sandiego.gov. And let's do one more. Council member Tony Atkins, that's simply Tony, T-O-N-I, Atkins, A-T-K-I-N-S, at sandiego.gov. And apparently the other council members wanted to mention here, but there's others are sort of pro-seal. But anyone wishing to testify on behalf of the seal should come to that meeting, and there will also be a pro-seal demonstration in the courtyard by the administration building starting at 8:30 a.m., just prior to the meeting. So anyway, as I mentioned before, spent many a moon gazing at those seals on that beach in La Jolla, the children's pool beach, and personally be really, really sorry and upset and sad to see anything happen to them. So I'm certainly sending those emails and doing what I can, and I hope you'll do the same. Also, I haven't mentioned Tiger Rescue in many moons, but saw an email the other day, so it did make me want to remind people. First of all, just quickly, that's a facility in Colton, California, where for many years there was a so-called tiger, sanctuary for tigers. The long story, very, very shortened, is that it was neglected, both the facility and the tigers there. I mean, to a criminal degree, the proprietor's up on criminal charges. Meanwhile, finally, after a year of this amazing man, Chuck Tracy, and a huge battalion of volunteers looking after these tigers while they were trying to find a suitable home to relocate them to, they did find one. And that's up at the Paws facility in Northern California, which we've also talked about. And again, there's some pictures of that on our website at talkinganimals.net. But anyway, so they've moved a lot of the tigers. They just haven't moved all of them. There's still about 22, I think, remaining in the Colton facility because they're just moving them kind of in shifts and letting the tigers get acclimated to their move and to each other up there and then moving another shift. So just doing it, kind of smartly, obviously, gradually. So the point of all this is that they still need help at the Tiger Rescue Facility in Colton. So if you could spare, a weekday, a weekend, of course, is great, too. Weekdays, I think they're, not surprisingly, need even more help. But either thing would be great until they can get the final of this tiger's move to their cool new digs up in Northern California. So if you can help, if you can carve out a day, and again, it's a pretty amazing experience. It's not even a full day anymore because there's so far fewer tigers than there used to be. But still, you have a really amazing experience, I can assure you, having been out there a few times myself. Email us at talkinganimals@aol.com, and we'll put you in touch with the people to coordinate that. But it's really, really cool, and I really hope you can help out. I got this sent to me by a family member. Thought I'd be interested, and I was, wincing. I read it, and I thought we should have this on the news. So this comes from the Colorado Springs Gazette in Wednesday's edition. A planned training exercise at Fort Carson has drawn fire from animal welfare groups because it involves soldiers injuring an undisclosed number of goats. Later this month, medics from the 10th Special Forces Group will learn battlefield medical techniques at the post by treating the goats, which will be sedated and then injured to simulate combat wounds, the Army confirmed Tuesday. The Army is unapologetic about the nature of the training, saying the goats will be sacrificed to save the lives of soldiers fighting in Iraq and Afghanistan. Quote, it's very important training, said Ben Abel, a spokesman for Army Special Forces Command in Fort Bragg, North Carolina, which is responsible for the training exercise at Fort Carson, which presumably is in the Colorado Springs area. That's not good enough for the Washington-based Humane Society of the United States, which last week sent a letter to a protest to Defense Secretary Donald Rumsfeld, calling on him to spare the Fort Carson goat. Quote, we wouldn't be much of a humane society if we didn't oppose the shooting of goats for training purposes, said Martin Stevens, the organization's vice president for animal research issues. Stevens said the organization was tipped off to the upcoming training by an informant at the post. The informant said plans call for pushing at least one goat off a cliff, Stevens said. able to decline to provide details of how the goats will be injured. And anyway, it goes on from there. But anyway, any thoughts, any comments? 949-824-5824, 949-UCI-KUCI. Again, you can also weigh in by AOL Instant Messenger. Screen name is Talking Animals. And it's time now for our quiz, part of the Animal News segment. It's simply a true-false question, but if you're the first person to correctly call in the answer, then you win your choice of all kinds of cool prizes. And that ranges from books and CDs from some of our previous guests. For example, there's a very cool book called For Bee, The Story of the Beagle Who Changed My Life by Kristen von Kreisler, a guest on our show, who adopted a former laboratory beagle and wrote a really cool, amazing book about it. We also have Shirley MacLaine book. She's not yet been a guest on the show, but as I've mentioned more than a few times now, this is a prize by virtue of the fact that this particular book was co-written by her dog. We also have leashes, safety collars, cat toys, T-shirts from various animal groups. We've got meatless meals for working people. We've got Liberation CD, which is the latest fundraising CD put out by PETA that features such bands as The Used, Good Charlotte, Goldfinger, Anti-Flag, Desperacitos, and others. We've got all kinds of... What else do we have? There's a couple of other cool things. A cat dancer, cat charmer. We've got a nice umbrella. I mean, we've got a range of stuff and more. So, anyways, those are your choices if you win on this quiz question. Or later, towards the end of the show, that's the same choices of prizes for Name That Animal Tune. So, we're not whistling Dixie here. All right, so, true or false... The hummingbird is the only bird that can fly backward. True or false? 949-824-5824, 949-UCI-KUCI. The hummingbird is the only bird that can fly backward. A couple of announcements as our time permits, and then we're going to jump into the comedy corner and then our interview with Elaine Boozler. But I wanted to be sure to call this to your attention. It's an event called New Leash on Life. And it's going to feature, first of all, it's on September 28th at the Olympic Collection Grand Ballroom in West Los Angeles. And it's going to feature Lily Tomlin, Meryl Marco, and Henriette Mantel. And probably know at least one or two of those. Henriette, though, also really amazing comedian and actress. And might know her from the Brady Bunch films, among other things. But anyway, this is a benefit presented by New Leash on Life and Porch Dogs, which is a book, which will raise funds for New Leash on Life, one of Southern California's largest nonprofit animal organizations. So there'll be readings and other offerings that night, and really sounds great. So other information and reservations you can get by going to the New Leash website. It's www.newleash.org. Or by calling 661-255-0097. 661-255-0097. And far more locally, but a notable and worthy event as well, is Doggy Show 2004. That's going to be at Costa Mesa Bark Park on September 25th from 10 a.m. to 2:30 p.m. And various dogs will be showing their wares, strutting their stuff, etc. So, you can find out more about that at a couple different places, actually, but sort of a slightly involved website. I'll try to get it to you as simply as possible. WindySign.net/AnEvents, AnEvents. ANIVENTS/September.html. See, I said it was tricky. But anyways, there's any number of other ways you can find out about the event, how to enter your dog if you'd like, and how to just enjoy the event itself. So And also email Dean Clayton at Newport JCs. That's DeanClayton at Newport JAYCES.org. Or lastly, you can call 949-451-2178. And one more event we should probably hit before we move into the Comedy Corner. It's the Walk for Farm Animals, sponsored by the Farm Sanctuary. That's going to be held on Saturday, October 2nd, the Venice Beach Boardwalk. Registration's at 10 a.m. The walk is at 11 a.m. And please submit the completed registration form at $10 registration fee no later than 3 weeks prior. If we're getting right up to that, to the walk in order to reserve your T-shirt, but you can still do it well beyond that, just to help the Farm Sanctuary. And any additional questions, please contact Karen Coyne locally here at 949-370-8484. That's Karen Coyne at 949-370-8484. So that might be all we have time for, at least at the moment here on today's edition of the Animal News. Of course, if there are ever any news stories or announcements or events you'd like to bring to our attention, please feel free to email us those items at talkinganimals@aol.com. What else? Love to encourage you to email us with comments about the show, suggestions of future guests, ideas about animal songs, animal comedy bits, any other animal topic that's on your mind. That email again is talkinganimals@aol.com. And please remind you, once again, why not, about the Talking Animals website. We hope you'll check out the site, talkinganimals.net. Again, that's .net. And sign up for the email list. We can keep you posted on upcoming guests and other announcements. You'll also find archives and synopses of all the shows, assorted photographs and articles, all kinds of links, other audio pieces, and more. So please stop by and take a look around. The site again, it's talkinganimals.net. It's time now to step into the Talking Animals Comedy Corner, which is always, of course, involves animal-oriented comedy. This is Jerry Seinfeld with the first part of a piece called Horses on today's Comedy Corner here on KUCI.
When you're on the road, which I am not now, you have to do whatever anybody suggests to do for that day, because you got to do something. A couple weeks ago, we were in Pittsburgh. We went to the track, bet on the horses. This is idiotic. I think it's fun, but I never would think for a second that I could figure out what horse is going to win. I don't even think the horses know that they're racing. Do they? I mean, are they walking back to the stable afterwards going, I was third, I was fifth, I was ninth. You cut me off. Watch that. I'll kick your ass next time. I think more likely they're thinking, oat bag, I get my oat bag now. Oat bag time for me. I mean, I'm sure the horses have some idea that the jockey is in a hurry. I mean, he's on him, he's urging him, he's hitting him, come on, come on, you know. So this is important that I get somewhere for this guy quick, but they must get to the end and go, we were just here. What was the point of that? This is where we were. That was the longest possible route you could take to get where you wanted to be. Why don't we just stay here? We would have been first. I'll tell you one thing the horses definitely do not know. They do not know if you should accidentally trip and break your leg at any point during the race, we're going to blow your brains out. I think they're missing that little tidbit of information. If they knew that, you'd see some mighty careful stepping coming down that home stretch. Easy, fellas, easy. You win, I'll place, whatever it is. All the same oat bag, fellas. The important thing is your health.
All right, that's Jerry Seinfeld with the first part of a piece called Horses, taken from his album, I'm Telling You, for the last time. The Comedy Corner is, of course, one of the signature features of Talking Animals. I'm Duncan Strauss, and you're indeed listening to Talking Animals on KUCI 88.9 FM, broadcasting from the University of California at Irvine. As many of you know, we also stream live on the internet at KUCI.org. Some of you, no doubt, are listening that very way, and some of you perhaps arrived through our own small website, talkinganimals.net. Before we proceed, I'm obliged to remind you that the opinions and views expressed in Talking Animals are not necessarily those of KUCI, UC Irvine, or the University of California Board of Regents. Earlier in the show, I mentioned this week's guest is Elaine Boozler, the veteran comedian, longtime animal advocate, and currently the host of PAX TV's Balderdash, whose longstanding work on behalf of animals has included creating her own multifaceted nonprofit animal organization called Tales of Joy. We're going to hear all about that and more. An interview recorded. That's right. It's the first recorded interview here we've done on Talk Animals in, I think, more than 4 months since we spoke with Jean-Michel Cousteau and had to record that one as well. So anyway, this is Elaine Boozler on Talking Animals here on KUCI. All right, let's welcome to Talking Animals Elaine Boozler. Hi, Elaine.
Hi.
How are you? Thanks so much for joining us.
My pleasure.
And gosh, there's so much to talk about in the realm of your efforts on behalf of animals and animal organizations, not the least of which, of course, is your own, Tales of Joy, which we'll get into momentarily. But I think it'd be really useful to kind of place all those efforts in some kind of context, starting with a bit of history. I mean, your devotion seems so long-standing and runs so deep and wide. I mean, how far back does it go? Were you an animal lover just right off the bat as a kid? Or?
Yeah, I guess we got a boxer when I was 5, and that just did it.
Yeah.
And ever since then, it's always been animals.
Wow. And I gather that was sort of a family passion. I mean, I think I read somewhere that, do you have siblings who are veterinarians?
Yeah, you know, it's the only lie in my bio.
Is it really? I wrote a very funny
bio, and it's so funny because it's the one thing that always comes up, and I guess it's time to take it out. It's the only silly joke in the bio that's not actually based on fact. So,
well, see, I thought there were a bunch of other silly things in there that I didn't bite on.
But those are all true.
Right, but I bit on the wrong one, I
you
guess.
You did.
Yeah,
you bit the wrong one.
Oh, shoot.
Sorry.
All right. Well, no.
No, it's really not a family thing, although we all love animals. But, you know, no professional animal people in my family.
I see. Okay. And what about, since you're an animal person from the get-go, and what about those years when you were, like, developing your stand-up act and your career? Were animals a part of your life even after you sort of got out of the house and were pursuing stand-up initially? Or?
Well, I always longed for a boxer. I guess we try to repeat the good things of our childhood.
Yeah.
You know, that boxer lived till I was about 17 from when I was 5, so my whole childhood was kind of spent with this dog as just another sibling, and so I just longed for a boxer for years and was so terrified that with touring all the time I just wouldn't be able to do it. And then the time came and I said, whatever happens, I just have to make this move, and it just changed my life. Just turned me from stone to flesh and blood. Everything changed when I just made that commitment and got that boxer.
And was that really then the point at which you would sort of mark becoming just really, really a huge animal person and concerned with their, or was that sort of gradual even after you got that?
Well, as I said, I always was, and I always did fundraisers for animals, and
okay.
I always, you know, wrote as many checks as I could, but
sure.
I wasn't hands-on in any way.
Mm-hmm.
When you get a dog, it puts you into the world. You are, you meet your neighbors, you meet your neighborhood, you talk to people. You know, as anyone will tell you, they know every dog's name in the park. They don't know one person's name.
Right,
but
first
they know the
first.
People and what
sure.
they're going through, and it becomes this unbelievably interesting support system of people who maybe don't know each other's names but know more about each other than people who do know their names.
Yeah.
And it's this amazing extended family of people that all would rather be with dogs than people and like the people who feel that way.
Sure.
So I suddenly found community, and as a comedian on the road, I didn't have a whole lot of that. I found this whole other world, and boxers especially, people just stop their cars and run out because they were the big 50s dog. Everybody had one, and they don't see a lot of them, and they run out and tell you their life story. So I just started to understand, as a comedian who basically looks at behavior,
mm-hmm.
This is just an unbelievable source of connection to the world. And once Petey died, that was the boxer, I just dove into rescue headfirst, and that was about 8 years ago.
Yeah, well, I want to come back to Petey definitely in more detail, and those are some of the things that you've done to kind of pay tribute to him. But so relative to that, then, when did you form Tales Wheels of Joy, which we've alluded to briefly, but we want to get a lot
well,
more
Well, what
detail.
I did 8 years ago after he died was mm-hmm. I joined Boxer Rescue Fund of Los Angeles
okay.
and got very active in Boxer Rescue. And I spent about 5 years there just learning how rescue works, just really getting the nuts and bolts of it. And I took their dogs on Good Day LA every couple of months and eventually, you know, did fundraisers and got them a really, you know, higher profile, which they deserved because they had these great dogs to place.
Sure.
And then eventually my husband and I gave them the down payment for their kennel in Sun Valley. And what happened was I said to my husband, you know, I really want to help the hand-to-mouth rescues that need it, and we've kind of left them in a very good position. Let's now go back to the tiny places that are struggling.
Mm.
And, of course, they always need money, so don't think they don't. They do.
Sure, sure.
But I formed Tales of Joy, and because I tour for a living, you know, I always was aware of all these tiny little desperate people who would come to the shows and tell me about their rescues, whether it was three ladies, you know, hiding cats or
mm-hmm.
whatever. So... What Tales of Joy, I mean, it's a great program I came up with.
Yeah.
I never sold after-show merchandise after my concerts. I just didn't. People always wanted a T-shirt or something. I didn't
mm-hmm.
have anything.
Sure.
So now I manufacture all this stuff for Tales of Joy. I contact very small, needy rescues in each city I'm going to play.
Mm-hmm.
I have them bring their materials to the theater. We put something on every seat so people know what's doing in their own neighborhoods. I underwrite the merchandise. Those people sell it while I'm standing there signing everything, and they leave with 100% of the sales. And the reason people spend a lot is because they're told and they realize that every penny is going to stay in their own neighborhood.
Yeah, that's so great. And so it's all too rare, really, to have... Yeah,
it's a good program. I mean, I'm hoping to get so successful with it that I have to at least take the cost of the merchandise out to pay for the next city. But that's great. They'd still get everything else.
Yeah, yeah.
But right now, I'm still giving them everything. So, and it makes a difference when a rescue's really small.
Sure.
And
well,
people can buy the stuff online and they can earmark it for their own city and then the check gets sent out in their name.
No, that's fantastic. And again, the double whammy of that and the, you know, just the outreach educational element of having their
exactly.
materials there. Yeah.
If they don't buy anything, they leave with a piece of paper that tells all about what's going on in their own city.
Sure. No, that's fantastic.
It's
and really...
It's a good program. I wish everybody, you know, would do a little more education in their shows about whatever is their passion.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. I mean, that's one of the really many, many things that's just so cool about your efforts is that there are a number of animal folks that either do what you do or do other sort of high-profile things,
right.
But they don't quite take it to the level that you have, which is just so fantastic. And I want to say, and I'll say you know, a couple times on either side of this when we're actually airing this this interview, but your website, it's talesofjoy.net, and it's really great. I mean,
oh,
it's jam-packed with info and resources and links, not to mention cartoons and jokes, so it's got a nice kind of,
right.
you know, bounce and levity to it, but there's so much great info
oh,
there.
Thanks.
Yeah.
Thank
yeah.
Thank you, and I'm just updating so it will not say February next week when you air this.
Well,
I got
great.
A little stuck on Balderdash, and I thought, oh, this is the first time ever I'm behind on the website, but I'm sitting here doing it now.
Yeah, well, we want to come back to Balderdash as well, but
oh,
yeah, I mean...
Okay.
I,
but the site will be fresh when this airs.
Yeah, yeah, no, that's great. And among the things that are on there that I just thought was so cool is the little guy grants.
Mm-hmm.
When did you start giving them, and how do you decide kind of who gets them? I mean, like, how do you assess like who's number three on your list versus who's number 10, or is it just kind of?
Well, what happened was with the traveling, that money goes out that night. You know, whatever sold, that
mm-hmm.
money goes out that night. So that money's gone. But sometimes I'll do a fundraiser for someone else's huge organization, and I'll say, look, it's something I would ordinarily do for free to help you raise money, but, you know, why don't you make a donation to Tales of Joy, a very small, you know, considering what my actual fee would be if you had to pay for my services. So that's other money. That comes
sure.
in from non-merchandise places. And so I don't, you know, the bank account has zero in it at all times,
yeah.
and whenever I get paid for anything that goes into Tales of Joy, or I write checks myself, people have started to find Tales of Joy and just email me with emergencies or need or their small thing that they need of something for.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, as the emails come in, I just try and go down an order of, you know, immediacy and need and emergency. And, you know, I wish I could do a lot more, but,
yeah.
you know, they really are little grants. It's not big stuff.
Sure, but
you know,
sometimes
I'll get emails. We can get our hands on 40 acres. And I say, hey, you know, I just want to fix your cat's leg. You
right,
know?
Yeah,
I don't,
let's take this one step at a time.
I just
yeah,
don't have
yeah.
it. I hope I do someday, but I don't at the moment.
Right, right. And Elaine, what's, I mean, I guess obviously a big focus of Tales of Joy is kind of helping in various ways, these kind of rescue organizations, whether it's, again, with a show and those proceeds going to them, or these little guy grants. But I gather also kind of another sort of key focus of yours is dealing with and sort of addressing cruelty cases and humane, you know, sort of legislation that's in the works and sort of helping to get the word out on that. Is that
absolutely.
Of the other sort of twin?
It's very important. I mean, you know, we're just kind of at the bottom of the river with all these animals coming down, but the higher up on the river you go, the less animals there are to have to rescue. And, you know, if you could just start at the source, which is spay-neuter, so we don't have to kill millions, you know, that's just education, and it's just people being understanding why it's good. So I have a page called the Get Off the Couch page. You can get off the couch and do something, and people sign up for different action lists.
Yeah.
And whenever there's an alert, either in their city, perhaps pending legislation, or a cruelty case that isn't being followed up on but should, I just send out an alert with kind of, you know, it's very non-intrusive, and it's very short and to the point, and don't bother anybody.
Mm-hmm.
Just, hey, this is what's going on. Here's what you might want to say if you support this. You know, here's where you contact the people. And then it's very, when people make it easy for me, I take the action.
Sure, so that's the thing. So it's like, hey, they get this alert, and then the idea is that if they send an email or write a letter or send a fax or whatever.
Call.
Yeah,
right,
yeah.
To say, hey, I support this. It's in our city, and, you know, you really should do something. And
sure.
Stuff like that. And it really does help. We really have had some success in getting cases followed up on that might have been dismissed. And the important thing is the Humane Society of the United States, HSUS, their first strike study, which is, you know, proves the just, you know, undeniable link between cruelty to animals and escalating cruelty then towards humans.
Sure.
You know, every serial killer started out torturing animals.
Yeah.
Even if you don't care about dogs, if you're seeing an abuse, you know, ongoing abuse in your neighborhood and you don't care because you don't care about dogs, you should care about your children, and that's coming up, you know, 5 years later with that
right.
person.
Sure.
It does escalate. There is a proven connection, and that's why you need to get involved on all levels, whether you care that much about animals or not.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just better for all of us, whatever your focus
yeah,
is.
Yeah, it is.
Sure.
It's a very
yeah.
important thing to intervene in and get some help for whoever's doing it.
And, Ellie, how many animals are living in it at the moment, and who are they?
We try and foster a lot through,
mm-hmm.
so
yeah.
we do that when we can. But
okay.
because I still tour, I can't have what I'd like to have, which is, you know, a 100 herd of canine.
Sure.
I just have a rescued boxer named Schnuffy from
mm-hmm.
Boxer Rescue.
Cool.
And a rescued black lab named Wiley, and that's all I have right now. And,
yeah.
you know, they're everything to me.
Sure, sure.
In fact, they just did a little, they do a style piece in the San Jose Mercury News on Sundays, and it's all about style, you know, it's
mm-hmm.
a little paragraph thing. And they said, what's your style? And I said, my style is this. If you're wearing anything that isn't completely covered in dog hair, your life is empty.
Yeah, right.
And I got a lot of really great emails on it yesterday. People said, I love that.
Sure.
So
yeah.
deep.
My people. Yeah,
yeah,
for sure.
It was great.
Cool. Well,
that's my style.
Yeah, no, that's great, as it should be. Dog hair
yes,
is
it should be.
Yeah.
Don't need the latest purse for $5,000.
No, now we can have a little bit of Wiley on you.
A lot of Wiley.
Yeah,
I can
sure.
make a new dog out of that dog every day.
No doubt.
Can't believe
no doubt.
He's not bald. Where
yeah.
did that come from?
So can we touched on him briefly earlier, but can we talk a little bit about Petey? Because, I mean, for many years, if you know, someone knew anything about you at all, chances are they knew about Petey.
Yeah.
And he just always sounded like a really, really special dog.
Well, he was to me. I'm
yeah.
sure everyone feels the same
sure.
way about his and her dog.
Of
and,
course.
You know, he was just the love of my life, and I wrote, you know, tons of material. He taught me a great lesson, which was, you know, kind of the cliche about comedy is that it's based on anger and hatred, right?
Mm.
You know, they're so angry, and, you
yeah.
know, comedians. You know what I hate? Well, I started writing about Petey out of the deepest well of love possible, and it's the most resonant material in my act.
Yeah.
Everybody loves the Petey material, and it came from love. So
sure.
it even showed me that great comedy is not simply the one side, but
mm-hmm.
there's also another side, and I'm so happy to know that. And then after I lost him, I'd be on the road, and I always talk to my audience. So I'd say, okay, what do you want, you know, any questions? And they'd say, how's Petey?
Yeah.
And I would have to kind of tell
them.
And
yeah.
At first it was so hard, but, you know, made me cry. But then I was so happy that the material about connecting with a dog was so deep for these people that they knew him.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
So I was really happy about that. And so then I got to write about losing a dog, which I think is very helpful for people, too, when they come to the show.
Really is. Yeah.
And I built a beautiful fountain.
I wanted to ask you about
that.
Yeah. Let's please tell us a little bit about that, because that was really a cool, distinctive way to connect.
Well, I thought, you know, what's a good tribute that would also help others?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I have his jar in my bed, so I didn't have a stone anywhere for him. He's kind of like, you know, I shake him to the radio. He's cremated, so as well as a bunch of other dogs back there. But we used to do Coldwater Canyon Park, and there was always a spot where he just ran out of steam, and it was too hot, and there really should have been water there, and there wasn't. There weren't any pipes or any access to water, and I thought, I'm going to build a little doggy fountain down here, not a vanity thing, a little tiny thing that blends into the woods, so you don't see it until you actually trip over it, and it'll be happy because it's beautiful up there, Tree People Park. But a lot of the benches say in loving memory of, and it's kind of like, oh gee, it's beautiful.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, this person's not here to enjoy it, and I didn't want that. I wanted it to be just a joyous, oh boy, water. So I paid to have pipes. It took about a year to have pipes, brought down from Mulholland, and it really was a major project.
Yeah.
And it's this funny little fountain made out of stone that we found in the park,
mm-hmm.
with a little tile on it, a picture of Petey, and it says, "The drinks are on me, Petey Boozler."
I love that.
And the nice thing about it is people don't think he's dead because it didn't say that. So for the first year I'd go every day and take the pictures and the letters. People would bring dog pictures and letters and put them on the fountain with a rock on top, saying, "Hey, Petey, I'd like to meet you. I'm a cute little poodle," with pictures, and they thought he was alive, and I thought, oh, my work is done. No one's sad when they take their
drink
of water.
Right, right.
And the water's needed down here. And it let tree people plant all new groves of trees down there where there wasn't water before.
Oh, that's so great,
so
Elaine.
It's a really
nice
thing, and it's kind of just subtle and the right spirit.
Yeah. No, it's just like you say, it's just like a nice thing relative to, and with all the good intentions, but people saying loving memory. I mean, the idea that the drinks are me, obviously cute, and also that, people said, hey, this Petey guy, we've got to thank him, we've got to leave a note for him. Yeah,
right, so. it's just great.
Yeah, that's so cool.
Yeah.
And kind of on a related note, and this is yet another just a really neat element on the website there, the talesofjoy.net, is the story section and reading the sort of the swimming post-Petey with Wiley. I mean, it was a bit of a tearjerker, at least for me initially, but then it was really kind of a neat, upbeat, happy ending, So,
thanks.
Yeah, I mean,
no,
it's just,
I encourage people to send in all kinds of stuff. I mean, I think, the website can have everything.
Yeah, and it really does. It's really just so multifaceted, and it's just great.
Thanks.
And you must get a lot of good response. There's also even Ask Elaine. You've got, like, kind of a cool advice
right,
the
columnist. Advice column goes up.
Yeah.
And then, of course, one letter a month runs in the Pet Press from there.
Yeah.
So that's nice. It drives more people to the site, and it
sure
gives me more letters because people write in.
Yeah, it's so cool.
No, thanks.
So we're just probably just about at the end of our time here, Lane, but let me just ask just by sort of wrapping up. In your view, like, what are, like, two or three, like, of the most maybe crucial issues in the animal world, at least to you, where you would really like to see us focus our attention to make the lives of our animal friends better?
Well, I don't think there's anything more important than spaying and neutering.
Sure.
I mean, most of the problems simply come from too many unwanted animals.
Yeah.
And I mean, we kill, what is it, 5 million? 5 or 10, I don't even know anymore, but healthy, young, adoptable animals simply because there's no place to put them.
Yeah.
And, that alone is just tragic. I read an amazing study years ago on an airplane, and they surveyed the top 100 corporate executives in America, the billionaires, and they said, to what do you attribute your success? And 90 out of 100 said, I truly attribute my success to having a dog as a child.
Hmm.
It they taught them responsibility and commitment and caring, outside of themselves, and it was just a fascinating thing. I think people, should know that.
Yeah.
That there's just nothing richer for a child than being given this, loving responsibility.
Sure.
But spay-neuter is totally important. So that's number one. Number two, of course, as in any bad situation, is education. I mm-hmm. think it should be mandatory in schools that they have rescue groups come and explain, you know, the right way to do things and the right what the commitment means, and also what the upshot is when you don't spay and neuter, or you do mm-hmm. take your dog to the vet, saying, "Oh, she's a great dog. I know she's going to get a home," and they walk him right to the back and kill him because there is no home.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
That, you know, that's really it. And yeah. Those are the two things. And of
sure.
course, if any city, which they're all out of money now in this wonderful economy, but, you know, they really need more people and better trained and better educated people to deal with animal problems in cities. We have great
yeah.
people, but they're overworked and
sure.
understaffed, and, you know, you can't blame them. There's just so much and so little they can do. So
and underfinanced, which is why, again, some of your various efforts are so great. Because
yes, and it's part of the population problem. You have puppy mills and,
yeah.
you know, backyard breeders here, and it's just horrific what they're doing with fighting dogs, and there is no officer to send out.
Yeah.
And it's such a great injustice to sentient beings, living, thinking, feeling beings with a very high intelligence that are being literally just tortured.
Yeah.
And, you know, and it all is part of it. Of course I care about people and children, and it's all related. You know, as I said, cruelty to animals escalates towards cruelty to people and children, and, you know, it's all of a piece. And,
mm-hmm.
and I mean, I forget who said it, but it's a brilliant line, which is that a society is treated by how it judged by how it treats its weakest members. That would be the animals.
And, yeah.
You know, it's important to just get that mindset out of respect for, you know, already born living beings that are here.
Yeah, yeah. Well, cool, Ann, and I think it'd be remiss if we didn't at least quickly hit Balderdash before we say goodbye, because that's a new show and gives us a neat opportunity to see you on TV regularly
and
again.
Being
so
funny.
Yeah.
Well, here's
so.
The greatest thing about Balderdash: they let me do an animal plug at the end of every show.
And, oh, my God.
I mean, I never thought that would happen. And I can't believe PAX and NBC are being this gracious. But they are. They said, you know, come up with a sign-off so you have a little signature that's you. And I said, well, okay. And I started doing, I alternate every night. I either say, remember, spay and neuter, pets only. Or I say, hey, thanks for watching. And remember, rescued pets make the best pets. And that's no Balderdash. See you back here next time. And just the fact that they're letting me do this. And now, three shows a week, they're letting me see. For more info, check out talesofjoy.net, my favorite website. So they're letting
Great.
Me send people to
wow.
be educated or find volunteer opportunities to help animals.
That's
and,
wonderful.
You know, usually they don't let you say anything because they have sponsors. And,
sure.
you know, that's valuable time.
Yeah.
But
oh.
I am so grateful and so happy that they are being this magnanimous about it, that I love them and I love that I get to do Balderdash and
yeah.
have fun and laugh for a half an hour.
Sure.
And then get to do an animal plug at the end of it. So everyone should email them and thank them for supporting animals.
Sure.
PAXTV.com.
Right. We love Balderdash, and that's one of the coolest perks I've heard of in a long time.
It's pretty,
yeah.
pretty great. I would
great.
Have been pretty heartbroken if they said, I'm sorry, we don't have time for that.
Yeah, wow.
It's wonderful.
Well, Elaine, thank you so much for joining us again. It's www.talesofjoy.net, and, of course, also www.elainebuzler.com to come at other info on you as well. And we really, really thank you for joining us today on Talking Animals.
It was my pleasure. Thank you so much for doing this great show,
absolutely.
Getting the word out.
Yeah, we do. We try what we can, but...
every little bit.
Absolutely. Thanks again.
Thank you. My
Take care.
Pleasure.
Bye-bye. All right, we want to thank again Elaine Boozler for joining us today on Talking Animals. The website, again, one more time, talesofjoy.net, and then her own is elainebuzler.com. Duncan Strauss, you're listening to Talking Animals on KUCI and Irwin, 88.9 FM, streaming live on the internet at kuci.org. Now it's time to proceed to Name That Animal Tune again. This is a pretty much like any other version of Name That Tune you'd care to mention, except that in this game, the tunes are always animal-related. So I'll play a snippet of this tune. I've already started. And there will be a prize. That's right, you heard me correctly. A prize for the first caller who correctly identifies this song. So as soon as you recognize this animal tune, if you have already, great. Please phone us, 949-824-5824, 949-UCI, KUCI. It's Name the Animal Tune. I'm Talking Animals here on KUCI. Hi, you're on the air live on KUCI. Can you name that animal tune?
Yeah, it's a baby elephant walk.
Absolutely right. Who's this?
My name's Chris.
Chris, cool. Well, I'll tell you what. Do you have any animals that live with you?
Not at this point.
All right. Well, sounds like soon, or sounds like there have been, or both.
Both.
Cool. All right. Well, I'll tell you what. Why don't you do this? If you could email us at talkinganimals@AOL.com, then we will figure out both which prize you'd like and how I can best get that to you.
Okay, cool.
Cool, but thanks for calling in, and congratulations on winning Name That Animal Tune.
Thanks, and thanks for the show, too.
Cool, man. Thank you.
All right.
See ya. Bye-bye. All right. A little rusty. Out of practice. Don't forget to take the phone thing off. Okay. Anyway. All right. So, cool. Congratulations to Chris, winning Name That Animal Tune. It's just that easy, and he gets his choice of those prizes I mentioned earlier in the show, so that's pretty cool. So, anyway, we have just about reached the end of this week's edition of Talking Animals. I'm Duncan Strauss. I want to remind you that the views and opinions expressed on this show are not necessarily those of KUCI, UCI, or the University of California Board of Regents. I want to thank again our guest, Elaine Boozler, and remind you one more time of those websites. It's www.talesofjoy.net, as well as elaineboozler.com. I also want to thank you all for listening and for the phone call we received there from Chris. That's cool. Couldn't take any calls, obviously, during the interview this week because it was recorded. But next week, and for as far as I know, all the subsequent ones, it'll be back to normal operations. So you can call and get involved in the conversation with our guests, which would be great. In fact, our guest next Monday will be Walter Boyce, director of the Wildlife Health Center at UC Davis, but perhaps at least as prominently known anytime there's a mountain lion attack, or even to assess the threat of one. Walter is who's called in by various state and county agencies in a few different states, including this one certainly. So I hope you'll join us for that conversation on Talking Animals next Monday, September 20th. And again, Walter will be with us live, so again, incorporate some of your calls and questions to Walter, so that'll be cool as well. By the way, other great public affairs shows on KUCI include just today alone the Serena Sharp Show, which of course precedes Talking Animals. Then at 5 p.m. we offer Planetary Radio with Matt Kaplan, followed at 5:30 by Counterspin. And that's just Monday, folks. There's great public affairs programming and talk shows like this virtually each weekday, 8 to 9, 9 to 10 in the morning. Then again from 5 to 6 in the afternoon. On the music side of the KUCI schedule, I also host a show called The Dead Air Zone. I'm in my final couple Thursday nights. That's when it's currently 8 to 10 p.m. And who knows where it'll land after that. But for the next couple Thursdays, you can catch us at 8 to 10 p.m. And it's truly eclectic, from Afrobeat to Zydeco. That's A to Z, of course. So when you have a chance, please check that out. And I also really want to urge you to check out our website if you haven't already. And even if you have, because there's always new and different stuff being added. That's talkinganimals.net. When you get there, please sign up for our email list. We can alert you to guest bookings and other events and announcements. And encourage you to email me with comments, guest suggestions, ideas about show topics, songs, comedy bits, news, stories, and anything else you'd like to pass along at talkinganimals@AOL.com. I really look forward to hearing from you. Really, really, I do. Please stay tuned for Jeff Scott and the Blues Disease, his great, great blues show here on KUCI. This has been Talking Animals on 88.9 FM KUCI in Irvine. I'm Duncan Strauss. Thanks very much for listening. Have a good week. Be kind to animals. Be kind to others. Be kind to yourself. And as always, we're closing things out here, of course, with an animal-related tune. We've been listening to music from The Bad Plus with a song called Keep the Bugs Off Your Glass and the Bears Off Your Ass. All right? Okay, we'll catch you next week on Talking Animals.